Does your life count? Well, last Sunday, we understood that we are placed here for a purpose, that God has given us life in order to have an impact and to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And today we consider how important it is for us to dream a big dream, a bigger dream than perhaps any of us have contemplated to this point. And in order to do that, it's most important that we attend to the voice of the Holy Spirit, rejecting all other voices that would hold us back and keep us down. Hear the voice of God's Spirit this day as we read together this passage from 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. You may have heard the story of the man who was flying over the Arizona desert. He was sitting on a window seat, and he was staring down below. The sun was glaring white hot upon the parched ground below on the surface, and all of the other passengers on the plane who were sitting on window seats had pulled down their shades except this man. He was looking out the window, and he had this almost overjoyed expression on his face. And the person who was sitting next to him on the aisle seat couldn't help but notice that this guy's looking out the window and he just seems beside himself, almost gleeful. Finally, curiosity got the best of him, and he asked his seatmate, "Excuse me, sir, I don't mean to interrupt. It's clear that you see something down there that you really enjoy, but I just wonder, what is it that makes you so joyful?" To which the person on the window seat answered, "Well, I'm in the irrigation business, and I just couldn't help but dream about what we could do if we could only get water to that desert. We could turn it into a lush garden." Now, that's a big dream, to turn the desert into a lush garden. And I'm not sure that very many of us here this morning would have what it takes to buy into that sort of dream, because in so many respects we are small-sighted. We have dreams. We have dreams. But more often than not, our dreams are wallet-sized. Some might even be characterized as the size of a postage stamp, because we are a people who are constrained by reality. We consider, for the most part, things that can actually come to pass. In our defense, there have been those moments, those seasons of life when we have harbored big hopes. But if we think back to those times, we quickly understand that what happened is, just at the point we got excited about something, someone came along to tell us, "It will never happen. You're kidding yourself. Can you believe what you're saying? You're way out ahead of your skis. You do not have the resources to make it happen." And so, though on one hand, we had these high hopes and these big dreams. We listened to voices that dashed those dreams and crushed our hopes and put us back into a place where we might learn to be content with things as they are. But this morning we have before us a passage of Scripture that invites us to consider the largeness of life that God makes possible to all who place their trust in His love through Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. A largeness of life that enables us to experience the immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. The passage that is before us this morning comes from John, the beloved disciple, according to the Gospel of John. But this first letter John wrote when he was up in years, near the end of his life, he had seen a lot, and more importantly, he had heard a lot. He had come to an understanding, no doubt in his own experience, about what might happen if we listen to the wrong voices in life instead of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit that can produce in us and through us more than we ever dreamed possible. And so in this passage of Scripture, what does John say? He invites his readers to test, he says, to examine, to scrutinize. The word suggests a diligent effort to make sure that what we listen to in life blesses us and has our best interest in heart. What John is saying to the church is that there are false prophets in the world. There are people who will keep you from the largeness of life that God wants you to know through your faith in Jesus Christ. And so every word that you hear, every voice that would tickle your ear, every pronouncement that would guide your path, you must test, you must examine, you must scrutinize in order to be certain that God is in it. Evidently, there were people in John's day, there were people in John's church who had mistaken gullibility for wise counsel. And they were heeding every utterance, listening to every voice that came their way. And as a result, they were operating out of fear and trepidation instead of boldness and brashness. They were majoring in minor matters. Minor matters instead of the big work that God was calling them to be about through their faith in Jesus Christ. Evidently, they had come to a place in their own faith journey where they were failing to experience the word of life and the complete joy to which John speaks in the first chapter of his first letter. And it is for that reason that later in this fourth chapter, John encourages his readers to revisit what he calls that perfect love, that love that completes us, that love that makes us whole, that love that will never let us go, that love that claims us through our faith in Jesus Christ. There is a perfect love, John says, that cast out all fear so that we can live the large life and dream the big dreams that God wants us to know, that God needs us to be about in order that His kingdom might come and His will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. No doubt you're here this morning and you understand from your own experience the constraints that are imposed upon us when we listen to those voices where others do not speak out of their desire to see us blessed. And you know from your own time hearing people hold you back and drag you down, how it keeps you from living the life you want to know. But have you ever thought about how many of those voices might be coming from your own heart, from your own voice? That the things that we tell ourselves prevent us from knowing the joy of God's salvation that God desires each of us to know through faith in Jesus Christ. What John is telling us in this passage of Scripture is that the dream that God has for us to know is something that God must awaken from within us. Instead of listening to others, instead of listening to ourselves, you're not good enough, you're not old enough, you're too old, you don't have enough. We heed the voice of God, the voice of God's Spirit, that loving voice that claims us and frees us from fear and empowers us to be the people that God needs us to be. Has there ever been a time in your life, think with me for a moment, when you have been so moved by God's love for you in Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your faith journey where you have been so open to the power of God through the presence of His Holy Spirit that you have given yourself to something that you never thought you could do? And God worked. And God moved. And God inspired. And God empowered. And you were able to make a difference for the cause of Christ in a way that transformed that situation because of your openness to Him. On the other hand, has there ever been a time when you've wanted to do something? When you've been excited about moving the needle? And just when you were on the verge of taking that risk that faith always requires, somebody spoke, you heard a word, you convinced yourself, this is not possible. This is silly. Why am I thinking such a thing? Too often, we're moved by the latter questions. This is silly. What am I thinking? Who do I think I am? Instead of being moved and directed by those former questions, I am a child of God. I am supremely loved by Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, brothers and sisters. If enough of us here this morning attend to the voice of God's Spirit at work in this place, in the life of this church, there is no end to what we can accomplish for the kingdom. I have no doubt that when John was writing these words of Scripture, he reflected back to his own experience as a disciple of Jesus and those times when he heard the voice of Jesus and he saw what Jesus could do in his life. He saw what Jesus could do in the lives of all who attended to him. And in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, you know that great passage of Scripture, I have come, Jesus said, that they might have life and they might have it in all of its abundance. That's a big dream. But in order to get there, we have to heed the voice of Jesus. It is in that same chapter that John recounts the experience, the exchange of Jesus with his critics, who ironically were religious people. People who were steeped in tradition. People who had learned how to be content with wallet-sized dreams and postage stamp-sized hopes. And so Jesus offered this teaching to them. He said to them, and John recorded these words in the 10th chapter of his gospel, "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep," hear this, "and the sheep listen to his voice." The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from the stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And as John told that story, he offers this summation. Jesus, John says, used this figure of speech, but they, speaking of his critics, speaking of the religious people who had wallet-sized dreams and postage stamp-sized hopes, they did not understand what Jesus was telling them. Do you understand? Do you understand? If you do, you will never be content with a little dream and a microscopic hope, because you know that such a dream will never inspire anyone or lead anyone to accomplish anything of significance. But when you open your heart to God's love for you and for this world through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, then suddenly you find the courage and you find the power and you find the inspiration to be about a work that only God can make possible. A work that, in the words of the psalmist, will one day turn the desert into a lush garden and the parched ground into a flowing stream. Brothers and sisters, I'd say, that's a dream worth living for. And brothers and sisters, Jesus would say, that's also a dream worth dying for. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, we thank you that Christ came to give of Himself for us and for our salvation, that we might find a place upon which to build a life that honors You and brings glory to Jesus Christ, a resting place that frees us from the fear and the trepidation, the anxiety and the uncertainty that characterize too much of our mortal existence. A life that is marked by the breath of the Spirit, a life that believes that in Christ all things are indeed possible. Father, speak to our hearts and tell us what we need to know and what we need to do and what we need to become in order to make a difference for Christ, a greater difference. The Christ in whose name we do pray. Amen.